This is ESPN Radio.
Ian Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Mike, that's where we got to go right now to bring on Browns writer for TheCleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, Mary Kay Cabot. And MK, OBJ was excused from the second straight practice, second straight day. How do you think this all plays out with Odell Beckham Jr.?
You know, right now, I just don't see very much of a path forward for him to play football for the Cleveland Browns again. And I say that with a lot of disappointment because, you know, I was one of the people that wrote that they should trade for him. I thought it would be so great for this team. I thought it would be great for Jarvis and Baker. And it really just hasn't worked out. But now, with the way things have gone, I just don't see that they can patch it up, smooth it over, and move forward as though this never happened. I don't think that's going to go like that.
Mary Kay, we saw that John Johnson made a comment saying that he believes if Odell was able to work it out and come back, the vast majority of players would support that and welcome him back here. What is the general sentiment of the locker room outside of Baker and Odell had to say about this?
Well, Odell is very much a great teammate. He's a great friend. Guys love him. You know, he's, you know, someone that bestows, you know, gifts upon his teammates in terms of, you know, cleats and headphones, and he takes young players under his wing, and he brings an energy to practice, and guys love him. So I absolutely believe that John Johnson is telling the truth there, that the guys would welcome him back with open arms and would want him to be on the football team. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen, because I think that he burned too much of a bridge here with what went on. Now, if that video had not been posted by his dad, I think that, you know, they probably could have made this work out somehow. But right now, I just think there's too much water under the bridge.
And Mary Kay, speaking of that video, is this the first that we've ever heard of any displeasure from Odell Beckham Sr. or anybody in OBJ's camp as to his role within the Cleveland Browns offense? Because it feels like this is something that just popped up on us on the eve of the trade deadline. I'm wondering, was there anything brewing under the surface prior to that video surfacing on Instagram?
Well, a little bit, yes, but that was the last straw was one catch for 6 yards in a 15-10 loss to the Steelers. Obviously, the Browns only scored 10 points. OBJ was on the field for 43 snaps. That was like 73% or something like that. So he was out there and just not getting the ball. And it was just an accumulation of that happening, you know, a number of games this season. And I truly believe in my heart of hearts that if he had caught, you know, 5-6 passes that game for even 75 yards, maybe a touchdown, I don't think this happened. I think that was the last straw. And I think there was a time element to it because it came right before the trade deadline. So therefore, I think they said, all right, you know what? Enough is enough. See if you can't, you know, get Odell out of here for us. And so, you know, that's why I think it came to a head. And then, you know, when that didn't happen, I still think you could go back home again if not for the video posted by his dad.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty talking to Mary Kay Cabot, Browns writer for Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And do you get the sense that Baker Mayfield has the confidence of the rest of the locker room? Was this isolated to just Odell Beckham Jr.? Or is there a feeling that everyone else might not be completely sold on him as the long-term quarterback there?
No, I mean, I think guys are sold on Baker as a long-term quarterback. I think everybody recognizes that he really hasn't been himself this season for one reason or another. A lot of it has been a lack of continuity on the offense. There hasn't been a game where he's had Jarvis, Odell, Kareem, Nick, the whole gang that was supposed to be out there for him. It just hasn't been like that so far this year. Jarvis missed 4 games. Odell missed the first 2. Kareem's missing a bunch. So it's not the offense anybody thought it was going to be. And then on top of that, Baker Mayfield has an injured left shoulder. Not only does he have the torn labrum, but also a fractured bone in there. And so he really hasn't been 100% himself either. And I think the team recognizes that. I actually think that they do have the potential to pull it back together and get this thing going. And who knows, it could happen as early as Sunday in Cincinnati. And if they win that football game, it's an entirely different narrative.
So what happens from here with Odell Beckham Jr.? Because you said you don't see a path forward for both sides. We heard the reports that the front office from Cleveland were meeting with OBJ's representation to try to figure out a resolution to the problem. Kevin Stefanski has already addressed the team and said that OBJ is not going to be a part of the team moving forward. So exactly how do they move on from one another? Is this a situation where there's an outright release? And if so, what are some of the stipulations that are going to be surrounding those circumstances?
Well, that's what they're negotiating right now. And there are a number of different ways that you could go. I mean, you could outright release him, and then he has to clear waivers now that the trade deadline is over. And in that scenario, nobody will claim him because of his big salary, unless you wait a couple more weeks, and then that continues to go down because the Browns have paid some more of that. So that's another option. Wait a few weeks until somebody else might claim him. Another option would be for them to negotiate some kind of a settlement where he doesn't make every penny that he's owed by the Browns this season in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, that's another thing that you could do. And then you can also, you know, make him inactive each week, or, you know, do something like the, you know, like the Texans are doing with Deshaun Watson, where he's not playing, still coming to work, but just not out there on Sundays and inactive. So there are a number of different things that you can do. Another thing that I thought would be an option, and I don't know if it is or not, but he does have enough of a shoulder injury that you could go ahead and place him on IR for a couple of weeks. And, you know, that could also buy you some time. He's got a pretty badly sprained right shoulder. So I think there are four or five different things that you can do, and they're working through all of those things.
Lots to consider right now. We will keep an eye on all of it. Mary Kay, thank you so much for the time and for the insight. We will wait and watch as Cleveland turns coming up soon.
Thanks for having me.
Mary Kay Cabot, Browns writer for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Chris, you know what the other interesting conversation that's come up in all of this, because I've heard a lot of people, and we played the sound from RG3 earlier saying, you know, this has people slandering Odell Beckham Jr., saying he's not a great wide receiver anymore. Like, I feel like there's a middle ground in all of this. Like, everyone wants to lay the blame one way or another on OBJ or Baker Mayfield here. Like, there's so much that's gone on. This team has been so successful without him. Baker Mayfield has been imperfect. Like, this might just be one of those things where, man, you don't fit here, and that doesn't mean that everyone involved here has got to be trash one way or the other.
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily means that Baker Mayfield is a lesser quarterback because him and OBJ don't have that connection, right? Like, that's the thing that it feels like Odell Beckham Sr. was trying to point out on that Instagram video, and it's just a matter of being able to have that chemistry, being able to have that rapport, and it's clear that Baker and OBJ can't get on the same wave, and there's nothing wrong with that. The two players can resume their careers and continue to be productive players in our league, but I think it becomes a problem for the organization where guys in the locker room decide to take sides with the issue. And from what John Johnson said after Coach Stefanski addressed the team in OBJ's status, speaks to how a lot of guys in that locker room may feel about OBJ, and in turn, how they may feel toward their quarterback, who is by nature in a leadership position. So I think that's the problem that Cleveland has on their hands when they talk about trying to find a way to be able to write their season. You have to have somebody under center that you believe in, and if you don't, you're going to have a locker room that splinters, and it feels like Cleveland is on the verge of doing that right now.
Somebody under center you can believe in. Seems to be a lot of that going around in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
Coming up next, speaking of that, Aaron Rodgers not going to be under center for the Green Bay Packers this weekend. Jordan Love getting his first start, and now all of a sudden the Kansas City Chiefs find themselves as almost over a touchdown favorite. Am I really about to hop back onto this Chiefs bandwagon? We're going to find out when we play Book It next. Candy and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canny, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, we got a lot of things that we got to get to because it just feels like with the news cycle the last 24 to 48 hours, it's been nonstop. So we figured we've picked this time in our show to play a little Book It.
All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it.
I'm still saying no.
All right, guys, it's Book It here on Candy and Golic Jr. If you've never been around here for this somehow, some way at this point, basically how it works, our producer Devin's going to lob us up a spicy little take. If you like it, if it feels good, you're going to shout Book It at the end, feel like Stephen A. Smith on First Take, making it rain. And if not, well, you won't. We'll move on. Devin,
damn,
does that sound good?
That.
It always sounds good to me, Mike. All right, let's start it up. Chris, Odell Beckham Jr., we just talked about him. He has played his final game in Cleveland. Are you going to book that?
Oh, yeah, I got to book that. I mean, that was Mike and I's read on this when they dismissed him from practice yesterday. The guy shows up for work and your head coach tells you to go back home. Like, you're no longer going to be a part of that team. And then having Mary Kay Cabot on just to confirm that she didn't see a path forward for the two sides together, that just lets me know it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. They got to work out the details. But Odell Beckham Jr. has absolutely played his last game as a Cleveland Brown.
Oh, yeah, you can book that one. Signed, sealed, and delivered.
Damn it, I ain't playing.
We're very close to playing that game of when he gets released, where we find him ending up in all of this. Because we know the Browns are going to try and make sure that it minimizes pain from them going forward here. Chris has said, and I believe, they don't want to see him go to some AFC contender and all of a sudden make them look bad. But depending on how this shakes out, they may not have much of a choice.
Mike, let's stick with you. Aaron Rodgers will get suspended for some length of time. Are you going to book that?
I'm not going to book it.
Damn that.
And this is something, whether or not I want it, I mean, listen, I think there should be some retribution. I think their suspension would not be out of line given what Aaron Rodgers has done here. But based on the NFL's own role in all of this, and as much as their statement from PR tried to deflect and say that it is on the clubs to monitor COVID protocols in all of this, Aaron Rodgers before the season received a therapeutic treatment. He went to the NFL and the NFLPA and asked for it to be considered vaccinated. He was denied by all parties involved here, which means the NFL knew. And so as much as they want to blame the team, nobody involved in that group right there said a damn bit of nothing during the season when they watched him repeatedly violate protocols in public in areas that we could see, let alone the camera footage that we heard Matt LaFleur say exists inside these buildings. So I think because of that, the NFL is going to do everything they can to continue to not draw attention to this and to just let the news cycle take it away. So I can't book this.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to agree with Mike. I can't book this either.
Damn that.
No, listen, man, the Green Bay Packers, the NFL, they're complicit in allowing Aaron Rodgers to skirt the COVID protocols for unvaccinated players. And although I do think he should suffer some kind of suspension, if for no other reason to send a message to the rest of the league that we're not going to stand for this, it's probably not going to happen. When it comes to NFL players, we realize that players are treated fairly, but not all are treated equally. But when it comes to the vaccine, you have to treat players equally in terms of adhering to the protocols because the virus can affect us equally in terms of that being a danger to the locker room and the danger to team personnel. So I just, it's one of those things that should happen, but I don't think it will based on how the NFL punted when it came to who's responsible for enforcing COVID protocol.
All right, Chris, we asked this question, Book It, last week. We'll see if there's any difference here. The Chiefs will make the playoffs. Are you going to book it?
No, not going to book it.
Really?
Not going to do it. No, not going to change my opinion on it. I think the Chiefs are a mediocre team to a bad football team. They've got an awful defense, and they can't seem to stop turning the football over on offense. So that's a recipe for disaster when it comes to a team that had championship aspirations. And at this point, halfway through the season, they're in the cellar of their own division, and I think that's the second half of the season is going to be more of the same for Kansas City.
All right, guys. I've been thinking about this for a long time. Because you guys know I've had a tough time quitting this Kansas City Chiefs team. Patrick, benefit of the doubt, Mahomes has had rent-free space in my head for quite some time, and it is a nice spot. Like, he picked out the best corner of this thing. It's a nice high-rise part of my brain, and believe me, there aren't many of them. That being said, I cannot book this. I can't do it.
Really?
Chris Canty has tried to be a good friend and get me to quit this team here. I know they are 7.5-point favorites now after being a pick 'em when Aaron Rodgers was in the lineup for the Green Bay Packers. but they are foundationally broken in places that I denied going into the Super Bowl last year along the lines of scrimmage, and I cannot deny them anymore, Chris. I have to, as a person that sees football on a regular basis, finally trust what I'm seeing and say I can't believe they'll make the playoffs. The dynasty's not over. I think that team will be back next year, but this year I cannot trust what they're doing.
Yeah, you got to let it go, man. You just got to let it go.
All right. Canny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canny. We're playing Book It. Sorry, Devin, for cutting you off. What do you got?
It's okay. We got about a minute left. Let's do one more. Mike, your namesake, Mike White, formerly known as White Mike, will outplay Carson Wentz tonight. Are you going to book that?
Formerly known? How dare you? He is currently known and forever
right.
known as Hall of Famer White effing Mike. Please and thank you. Will he outplay Carson Wentz tonight? No, I don't think so.
No,
I think
sir.
We caught magic
no.
in a bottle. That being said, I want to look directly into the camera that we're not on today and say this. White Mike, it's not because I'm not rooting for you. In fact, for all of the White Mikes out there, we need you to put on here. Because yes, do we comprise a very large portion of people, both racially and by name, considering it was the most popular baby name for like 20 years running? Absolutely. But we need you to stand up and be whiter and miker than everyone ever has before here. You've got an open shot for this job. Robert Saleh left that door all the way open for you. And unlike Silk Sonic, you're going to deliver on that.
Whiter and miker?
Is I don't know if that's
like,
possible.
Is that like Chris Rock's bigger and blacker? I don't even know how to... Like, how to
That is the exact opposite, right. You're right, of Chris Rock in that moment. It is Mike White going and balling out for the Jets. Whiter and miker.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to book this, man. I'm going to book it. I'm going to do it because, listen, that Carson Wentz train, him turning the ball over at the most inopportune times, that ain't never late. It ain't never late. We saw it against the Tennessee Titans. And we're probably going to see it against an opportunistic Jets defense that now believes they have a quarterback that's at least capable of giving them competent offensive play. So, yeah, I'm going to say Mike White continues the same game plan that they had this past week at MetLife Stadium in Lucas Oil tonight against the Indianapolis Colts. It's going to be a lot of checkdowns. It's going to be a lot of getting the ball to Michael Carter and Ty Johnson out of the backfield as receivers. They'll let him play within himself. And he'll make a couple of plays that you need him to make in order to be the difference in the game. I'm rolling with it. The legend of Mike White is born. He's going to be the king of New York. That effing that Ty Johnson said needs to be in the middle of it. It's going to be Frank for Frank White, because that's how well I think he's going to play tonight.
Oh, man. With great power comes great responsibility. That's what happens when they put your jersey in the Hall of Fame as an exhibit.
Mike White, I want it to happen. That's why I'm saying it. I'm willing it into existence. I want it to happen.
Speak it to power. Dan Orlovsky will find his way onto the show tomorrow if that happens. Believe you me. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com. Coming up next, do we have a new team at the top of the early NBA power rankings to start this season? We'll get to that next here. Canny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canny, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, we got to go there right now to bring on ESPN NBA analyst Tim Legler. And Tim, we'd love to get to the on-the-court stuff with you. But first, unfortunately, we have to start with something that's going on with one of the governors in the NBA, Robert Sarver, governor of the Phoenix Suns. What was your reaction to the story that came out that detailed the toxic work environment surrounding the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah. Look, like everybody else, the first thing that hits you is you just start reading it, and there's just so many layers and allegations to it. It's just ugly. There's no other word for it. It's ugly. The conduct is ugly. The workplace environment sounds like it was not only toxic, it sounds like, you know, there were people dramatically affected in a negative way by the things that were going on. Obviously, I didn't know of any of this. So this story breaking, and you get into the details of it. You know, I'd like to say, hey, you're stunned and shocked, but are we really stunned and shocked anymore? Because it seems like stories like these break all the time. So you're not shocked as much as you are just kind of disappointed. And you're trying to just take in all of the different areas in which it sounds like this work environment got out of control. And look, right now, as it stands, what we're going to have to deal with is the person that is being accused is refuting all of this. So, and I'm a huge believer in due process. So right now, all we have are allegations. And now the league is going to have to follow up on this with a more thorough investigation. This is a reporter investigating this. It's a lot different when now the league will get their investigators involved. And where that leads, who knows? That's above my pay grade to determine what, you know, a league should make an owner do in certain circumstances. Because first, they've got to go and they've got to look into all of these allegations. They've got to see what's true, what isn't. And they've got to take time to do it. So unfortunately, people want a knee-jerk reaction to it when you hear an accusation. I think most people want you to go, oh, he's got to go. He's got to force him out of the league, get rid of the team. The problem is you don't know until there's an investigation done exactly what is true, what isn't, because he right now is saying a lot of this is mischaracterized. If it's not something he flat out denies happened, he says, oh, that was a different context than the way this is being reported. So you literally have someone that is in every step of the way is saying that's just not true. And look, you also have people quoted in that article that have a lot of respect and weight in this league, Steve Kerr being one of them, that worked there, that said, hey, this is not the Robert Sarver I know. So he almost, you know, defended his character. Didn't defend the allegations, but defended his character as a person that he knows. James Jones, the current general manager, another guy that has a lot of respect in this league. So this is going to be dirty. It's going to take a while. And we got to wait for the smoke to clear from all of this and the league to go do their due diligence and find out exactly what is true. And once they come to a conclusion on that, let's see what their determination is going to be.
Kenny Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're talking to ESPN NBA analyst Tim Legler. You guys can check out that reporting by Baxter Holmes on ESPN.com. Tim, switching to what we've seen on the court early in this season, hadn't been all sunshine and rainbows for the Boston Celtics. We had a nice players-only meeting that popped up after Marcus Smart made comments about Tatum and Brown needing to pass the ball more here. What do you expect to see? Do you think this ship gets righted here sooner than later, or are there real systemic problems in Boston?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, I've said it a little bit last year. I talked about their offense and the way it operated, and I said, you know, when you have your two-star players on a nightly basis have to take between 40 and 50 shots to get between 50 and 60 points, that's not efficient. And there's a couple reasons for it. They weren't at the time high volume 3-point makers. They weren't high volume free throw attempt guys. So as a result, it's a lot of 2-point baskets and it takes a lot of shots to get to your number. And the entire sole focus of their offense was those two guys, these two young forwards. And I'm not saying it's because they were selfish. I think it's because there are limitations in their games that really make them in a comfort zone, only certain areas offensively on the court. And as a result, it's very difficult to have an efficient offense. And I think Brad Stevens knew it. He sat there and watched it, coached it. It felt stale to me last year with Brad Stevens coaching it. So they make a change. Brad Stevens goes up to the front office. They bring in a new head coach. But you still have the same two players as the focal point of your offense, and you still have the same limitations in their game. So it's easy to just call it out if you're Marcus Smart and say, hey, they don't pass the ball enough. Okay, well, then my point is going to be, well, then how do you know that they're comfortable enough to affect the game in other ways as an offensive player? Maybe that's their comfort zone in their lane. So it doesn't mean just because they had a players-only meeting, it's going to get sorted out. They're just saying, oh, that's what you want us to do. I didn't know that. I'll go create offense for everybody. Well, maybe they're not capable of doing that. So for me, there's still issues there and the way they're going to operate every night. And they won a game against a bad team, held them to under 80 points. That's not going to be symptomatic going forward and everything's corrected. Tonight would be a better test because they're playing, I think, the top defensive team in the league in the Miami Heat. So let's see now if anything really productive came out of that. Because I think, look, they can not shoot as much and swing the ball, move the ball. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to end up creating more offense for other people. So they've got some issues, I think, with their team overall and their top talent. So let's see, you know, what this does going forward. Team meetings are great, man. And sometimes people get their feelings hurt. Sometimes it affects real change. Sometimes it's just noise and bluster. We don't know. So it's worth watching, but I do think that we have to pay more attention to some of the limitations that some of these guys have. And how are they going to affect the game in other ways if they're not doing that? Because that's what they've known since they came into the league.
Leg, since you brought them up, we got to go there. I mean, a team that everybody thought would be better this year in comparison to where they were last year is the Miami Heat. And they're 6-1, and they seem like they've got everything rolling. They've got 320-point-per-game scorers. What exactly makes this team work on the court, and what exactly do you think the ceiling on this squad is?
Yeah, so let's go back to a year ago, because 2 years ago they go to the finals in the bubble. They surprised people. There's a weird ascension. Nobody expected that, but it also was a very unusual season that anyone could have ended up in that spot. I felt like they just navigated the bubble better than other teams, and they end up in the finals. And I think it set expectations to a different place than they should have been probably for their roster, because I don't think they had enough firepower. And coming into last year, you look at their team and what were the problems? They, you know, Tyler Hero really did not come out of the bubble and continue to ascend. He had a really rough year on and off the court. I think there were things that the Heat were concerned about. Was he too caught up in the fame? Did he just think it was going to be easy from this point on? So he basically got himself set back last year. They didn't really address additional offensive issues. I think Duncan Robinson wasn't as good as he had been. And so now what do? You go out and you address some things. First, you bring in Kyle Lowry, PJ Tucker. Right off the bat, two tough guys, two winners, two guys that the day they walk in your locker room, There's a seriousness about task at hand with two guys that are going to leave skin on the court every night. It permeates your entire roster. So they got tougher, they got better defensively, they got smarter. And then on top of all of that, they go out and now Tyler Hero is back to being the player that we saw in the bubble. And it looks like whatever he did over the course of the offseason, he listened to the concerns, he addressed them, he put the work in. His mind is in the right place. I was told he just recently became a father, which that'll change your perspective on things. Maybe that's impacting him in a positive way. But now they've got the additional firepower that they needed, and they're infinitely better now defensively, and they're tougher. So I look at that team and I say, what's the ceiling? The ceiling is ending up in the finals and potentially winning a championship. Like, I think that is not going to shock me based on their roster composition and the way they've looked early in the year. I think they're hands down the best defensive team in the league. And ultimately, you can win games on nights when you don't shoot well, when that's your approach. And there are not a lot of teams in this league that can do it.
No, that's certainly been unique to Miami for what feels like the last few years now. And excited to watch that going forward. Heat culture on display for the rest of the league here. Legs, we appreciate you giving us some time, man. We'll talk to you very soon, all right?
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, coming up next, we got Thursday Night Football tonight. We have the Colts left, the last breaths of Carson Wentz here as Chris Canty gets ready to fry him up one more time. But I think we got an even bigger thing on the horizon here. What happens if Mike White actually goes out and plays well tonight? Is there a real quarterback controversy that could be coming up for the New York Jets? That's next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. I want to look directly into the camera that we're not on today and say this. White Mike, it's not because I'm not rooting for you. In fact, for all of the White Mikes out there, we need you to put on here. We need you to stand up and be whiter and miker than everyone ever has before here.
Whiter and miker? Is that like Chris Rock's bigger and blacker? I don't even know how to... Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Mike Golic Jr., at Chris Canty 99. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line. We want to hear from you. And, Mike, we got to get to tonight's matchup on Thursday Night Football. The New York Jets, led by Mike White, going into Indy to take on the Colts and Carson Wentz. And you know where I'm at with this thing, man. I feel like the Jets might have found something with Mike White and his performance last week. It doesn't seem like it's something that they can't duplicate this coming week. It's a short week. You know that a lot of the elements from the game plan against the Bengals will be included in this game plan against the Colts because their quarterback had some success doing that. So you got to think with the quick turnaround, the offense is going to look more of the same, and it's hard not to have some confidence that Mike White can't go in there and at least give them some semblance of competency on the offensive end. And coupled with that resurgence of the defensive side of the ball, make this a game tonight on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, Chris, matchup-wise, that's going to be the interesting part of this for me because that Jets defense has been the stronger of the two sides for a while now. That was a tremendously low bar to clear on offense for a while, really until last week for the Jets. But they're going up against an offensive line that's not going to get pushed around in the way that the Bengals did, especially towards the end of that game in the third and fourth quarter. But on the other side, you're right. Like, for Mike White to have success, I actually think there's a very real chance he could play much better, and the numbers may not indicate it, right? Like, we saw him turn the ball over a couple of times. We saw him put the ball in harm's way more, but it was short throws, like 3 yards of average air yards on a target in that game that were converted into bigger plays here. Like, he could, in a second start where the game could slow down a little bit, actually push the ball downfield more and it not be reflected in the production, because we saw some Herculean efforts from the rest of that Jets offense.
No question about it. And you saw the skill position players do more of the heavy lifting when it came to being able to sustain the drives, right? It was a lot of run after catch yards, a lot of those receivers going over the middle on spot routes, slant routes, things of that nature. And those are some of the easier throws for quarterbacks to make. So I think, you know, when you start talking about the matchup against this Colts defense, the one thing that Mike White has to be prepared for is a lot of those defensive linemen trying to get their hands up in those throwing lanes, because that's what led to the early interceptions from Mike White against the Cincinnati Bengals, and it's a copycat league. So you got to be thinking that that's what Matt Eberflus will have on his mind and on the minds of his defensive players, especially the guys in the front seven. But if Mike White is able to find a way to take care of the ball, I think the Jets can find a way to make this game a little bit more competitive than what people think it would be. And on the other side of it, I just have a lot of confidence that this Jets defense is going to be able to find ways to disrupt Carson Wentz. And we've seen when Carson Wentz is pressured that he's shown the propensity to turn the football over. And that's the one thing that has me worried about this Colts team moving forward, because it's clearly a group that has playoff aspirations, and yet their quarterback seems to turn the ball over at the most inopportune times. You saw it against the Titans, 2 interceptions in the last 8 minutes of that game. That is completely unacceptable from Carson Wentz.
It is unacceptable from Carson Wentz. Despite that, the Colts have scored 30 points in 3 straight games. They've never done it in 4 straight games here. So despite those turnovers, the rest of the offense has worked well. But I think something even more interesting is brewing in this game on the other side, because we've talked so much about Mike White, in large part because Robert Saleh didn't say this job belonged to Zach Wilson when he returned healthy. This was the Jets head coach, Robert Saleh, on the Michael Kay Show, talking about why he didn't make that declaration.
Well, guys, it's like, it's a good one, right? Like, I'm not saying I'm the biggest angel in the world, but I do like to think that I'll never make a promise I can't keep. And if the guy is out there performing at a ridiculously high level, how do you not entertain anything?
Right.
And so that's why I said anything is possible. You got to let the day play out. What happened Sunday was awesome, but the focus is today and trying to get ready for a quick turnaround on Thursday. And let's just go play that game rather than play all these different hypotheticals. Let's just play the moment, and because anything can happen, and it's not to open up Pandora's box. It's not to do anything like that. It's just, guys, I'm not gonna make a promise that I can't keep.
AKA, I would like someone to play good at the quarterback position this year, and have y'all seen Zach Wilson so far?
It ain't been great. It ain't been great. And what Mike White has been doing is at least giving the Jets a chance. And for a coach that's in the infancy stages of program building, that's exactly what you want. And to his point, when you have a player at the position playing at an incredibly high level, it's going to be hard to snatch that job from him and give it to the guy that's the number 2 overall pick. Like, there has to be somewhat of a meritocracy feel to what he's trying to preach when it comes to competition on that team.
So Money Mike White is going to try and get him right heading into Thursday Night Football here. The Jets and the Colts going off in a game that the Colts should win. But we know better than that. Coming up next, we'll let you know where your money should go as we head into the college and NFL weekend here on ESPN Radio.